The Toronto Raptors are finally 500. Not above, but at least not under. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Nur Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and we do have some celebrations to be had this morning.
The celebration, Raptors, celebration of mid.
With the pen making it look like you're taking notes, but you're not taking notes. So we didn't hear anything from you. And ignore the thing to my left. Doesn't really matter right now. For Raptor fans out there, though, this is what Josh Lewinberg had to say. It took 109 days and 6 opportunities for the Raptors to be back at 500, 38-38 for the first time since December 9th, when they were 13-13. And now they've won 4 of their last 6. And had the Hawks lost last night to the Cavaliers, they would be looking down from the 8th spot, you know, below the Hawks. But they ended up getting that win. Donovan Mitchell wasn't able to come through the way that we wanted him to as Raptor fans. It was Trae Young, Jonte Murray the whole night. But doesn't matter. The Raptors are 500. So Jelani, tell me this. They've won 3 straight right now.
Yes, they have.
They're at 500.
500.
I'm not going to let you get influenced by the devil on your right now.
Devil.
Okay, just look straight at
me
in the eye.
That's tough.
Look at me straight in the eye. How are you feeling about this team?
Finally. Finally, we are up. We are so
up. Up to 500.
We are up
Can
to
you
500.
Let him talk?
We are up to 500, bro. Okay? Don't talk to me about celebration of mid, even though we are. Like, I mean, look, mid, literally, like, that's the definition, like 500, right?
But you're okay to celebrate.
I'm happy.
It's
I'm happy,
yeah.
Right? I'm very happy because it's taking so long to get to this point, right? And Raptors fans all year, it's been a tough year. Let's face it. It's been a tough, tough year. The injuries early on in the year talks about, do we fire Nick Nurse? Do we keep him, right? The trade deadline was crazy. So I'm seeing, you know, signs of hope. It's good that this is happening right before the play-in tournament happens, right? I really did want that 8 seed. We'll see what happens moving forward. But I was impressed with what I saw, and specifically Scottie Barnes. Hello, is this mic on? I loved it. I loved what I saw from Scottie Barnes. As soon as the game started, he had a motive. He was there to finish the job, get it done, get an easy dub, a quick dub. He gave us 22, and he was also giving us the rebounding and playmaking in terms of the assist that he gave us, right? Pascal Siakam was also, you know, benefiting off of what he, you know, did, right? So I saw those two obviously make sure that they showed up, and we got contribution from Precious as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very impressed, right? We're glad that we're here, right, Nor? We're glad that we're here. The last 3 games also, the defense has been better than usual, right? Because we've held guys to less than 98 points per game, you know, if you're going to add those up. So, yeah, I'm impressed. We'll see what happens moving forward. The winning percentage of the combined teams that we're playing moving forward is high, right?
Second's so, hardest schedule.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough, but I'm impressed with what the Raptors are doing. But
they full marks for the Raptors. Full marks for the Raptors for what they did last night against the Miami Heat team that was who were they missing last night?
I don't know.
Jimmy Butler. But look, the Raptors took care of business. Without Jimmy Butler, they did what they're supposed to do. They won the game convincingly. Now look, Miami had 2 guys in double figures last night. That was Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, 21 and 33 points respectively. The Raptors, I like what you said about Scottie Barnes being aggressive. 10 for 16 shooting. OG shot at 14 times 9 for 14. Pascal was 10 of 20 last night. That's what I want to see. I want to see aggressive play from those guys. Take it to the rim, you know, play hard, you know, make effective shots. They didn't shoot well from 3-point line, but they didn't need to because Miami's offense, we know, is the worst in the NBA. And look, the Raptors right now, here's a stat about defense, how defense affects winning. The Raptors are 8-0 this season when holding opponents below 100 points.
I like that.
That's shows you that defense does not only win games, but also championships as well. It was a very good game. Very good game by the Raptors. They showed that they're playing up to their level, not the competition's level. That's what I've been saying the last couple of days. So the Toronto Raptors were very efficient last night, very effective from the field. You know, they shot nearly 90% from the free throw line as well, which has been a bit of an issue for them. So full credit to the Raptors for taking advantage of a shorthanded Miami Heat team and winning the game. And now they go on that 5-game road trip, and let's hope this continues.
I also think whenever Pascal Siakam scores over 25, the Raptors win the game. I don't have any stats to back this up right now. I'm sorry. I'm going to look it up afterwards. I'll add the column in the text or whatever. But I do think whenever Pascal Siakam's being aggressive, it just creates so much. It just takes the pressure off of the other players. And because he's demanding so much attention in the paint, it allows guys like OG Anunoby to have nice like that. It allows Scotty to be aggressive. It allows Freddy to get the ball moving around and pass it. And we know how bad this season has been for the Raptors. No one needs to dissect it, break it down, because I might cry. We've gone through the court pretty much being blown up. We've gone through Masai having to sit there and give us answers. So coming to this point now where you're at 500, you're about 5-6 games away from the play-in. I feel like we're finally getting some level of energy and momentum for this team. I feel like they're heading towards the right path, and it's not just the defense for me. It's also the passing. I think they're finally getting the extra passes going. In the last few seasons, in the last few months, we've seen them not ever make the extra pass. They would just be the one guy holding the ball, everybody else at the perimeter just watching him hold the ball and figuring out what's going to happen afterwards. But now you're watching a bounce pass, a little shimmy to the side, every little thing that helps the team get the ball to the open guy and make the perfect shot. And they're doing that right now. So the next game is going to be a difficult one. Unfortunately, you're going to be playing the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly, the city of brotherly love. It should be an oxymoron, because they're not about love at all in that city. So how do you think the Raptors will fare? Because I know Embiid and Harden are currently listed as questionable against the Mavericks tonight. Embiid did not play against Jokic. So I'm wondering what their lineup will look like come Friday.
Well, whether or not they play, I just want to see if the defensive activity could be similar to what we saw last night. It was fantastic. It was one of the more clean games that the Raptors played all year long, right? Yes, without Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat are a completely different team. We know this, right? But I was seeing that they were very sound, all right? They were actually closing out. They were forcing them into bad shots. They were forcing them into turnovers. That's what I like to see. Tough passes all night for Miami. That caused us to, you know, force turnovers and gave us more opportunities on the offensive end. That's what I want to see from the Raptors. So you're playing a team like the Sixers, right? They have a very good offense, right? So I want to see, can the defensive activity be the same?
Well, their road record is 12-24 this season, right? So I want to see them put some positive play on the road. Whether they win or lose in Philly is irrelevant, because I think everybody kind of expects them to not win.
I'd say it's relevant.
I think it's
though.
Very relevant. Like, if I'm talking about the game in Philly.
Because I've already choked up that game in Philly as an L for them, because I don't think they're going to
win. It doesn't matter if you have, they could win that anyway. But I think every single game from now on is very important. Very important. They play the Hornets afterwards twice. They play the Celtics twice as well. And then they take on the Bucks. So, real quick before we go, Hornets, both of them, are they going to take it?
No, because the Hornets all of a sudden want
to
play spoilers. So
win against the
Hornets.
I'd say one of them.
Twice.
At least
Jesus.
One of them.
Okay, after that, Celtics twice in Boston.
We take one of them.
It depends on the lineup, what the lineups look like in the standings.
Too.
If Boston's resting players,
Bucks?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yes.
Again, it depends.
All right, the Raptors take on their 5-game road trip starting Friday against Philly, and they return home against the Bucks on, I believe it's going to be April 9th. 10th? I can't really tell you right now. I'm going to have to look back at it afterwards. We'll see you guys afterwards. Take care. This is Hoop Talks.
Is the clock ticking on Dame Time in Portland? We'll see. This is Hoop Talks. What is going on, everybody? I am Jelani Goodridge-Reed, along with the crew that is Noor Zainab and Justin Pooney. So, guys, we're looking out west right now, and Portland. Portland right now, it just hasn't been good all year long. Myself and Justin, we had agendas to push. Haven't really been a great, you know, per se. But look at this recent report from Chris Haynes. He came out with a report regarding Dame Lillard's status. So they are shutting him down for the remainder of the season. As you can see, The Blazers are 32 and 43 right now, in the Western Conference. They're 13th in the standings. So it appears as though season's over, right? And with that being said, guys, I'll give it to Justin first. Justin, what has happened with Portland this season?
Injuries, man. Like, you think about Dame's been missed time with injury, but also Yusuf Nurkic, Anfernee Simons, Jeremy Grant, all three of those guys, probably the three best players on the team right after Dame Lillard, right? And the Blazers have been kind of falling off just this past month. Yes, they've been up and down all season, but think about a couple weeks ago, they were in the middle of the play-in / playoff race. Those three guys get hurt, they start losing, and then it's done. It's curtains, right? And now all the talk is, of course, well, is Dame going to want to leave Portland? Is he going to want to be out of Portland? Well, I don't think so, right? And it's a shame, because Dame was having a career year. He's averaging 32 points, right? Good for third in the NBA. But also, here's the other thing. He's got a boatload of money coming his way. Yeah. Right now, he's got $45 million coming up to him, $48 million, $58 million, and $63 million.
I wish.
Owed him every year for the Portland Trailblazers. So, yes, you could trade him. Yes, we've heard about, you know, KG saying if he plays at the Mecca MSG, he's one of the greatest players of all time. Yeah. But that's just not who Dame is. I think Dame and the Blazers need to have a serious talk about how they want to build this roster around him. They have another. They got a lottery piece in Shaedon Sharpe. They can have another high lottery pick. What are they going to do to enhance this team? Because you can't keep on throwing away years for Dame.
Yeah, so, Nor, like, looking at his situation, right, understanding where the Portland Trailblazers are at, if you're Dame Lillard, do you stay 10 toes down? Or do you finally say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to run from the grind.
I think this is no longer the team that Damian Lillard could look at and be like, oh, this is going to be a playoff push every single year. Because they're used to that, right?
Yeah.
Prior a couple of years ago, that's what they were used to. They used to make noise in the West, and Dame used to lead that team by himself. But I think based off of recent events, based off of how much they've lost, yes, they have a lot of talent right now currently too, but those guys are also injury prone. We've seen that with Nurkic time and time again. And on the other hand too, the Western Conference got a billion times better since the Blazers were actually playoff material in the Western Conference. You're seeing a bunch of teams now that can make noise, and teams that you never expected to as well. Like the Grizzlies came up out of nowhere. Kings this year are having the dream season, you know. Pelicans are doing well as well. The Thunder are somehow making the playoffs, you know, or the play-in at some point. So there's not much room to mess up anymore. And with a stacked conference like that, everything depends on injuries. And if one guy goes down, it just makes it that much easier for a team to hop over him.
Yeah, 10 toes or no?
He's, come on. I think, I don't understand people keep on trying to push the narrative he's going to leave, right? I don't, what? He's said it his whole career. Now he's just going to switch his mind, right? I think, look, if the Blazers come to him and say, hey, Dame, we want to move you because, look, we know how great you've been for this franchise, but we want to rebuild and retool. And he said, I don't want to rebuild or retool.
Yeah.
That's the only way I think he leaves. If the organization itself goes to him and says, Dame, look, thank you for everything you've done, but we want to go younger and we just can't recruit players. We just can't make it work to bring the necessary pieces to make a championship contender. And if he does, and then that's the only way that Dame will go. If it's a mutual thing and the Blazers go to him first, but I don't see Dame going to the Blazers and be like, I don't want to be here anymore. Get me out of here. It's the other way around, I think.
Yeah, no, I think he's cut from that cloth of guys that we used to see. You know, Kobe. I know he requested that trade. I get it. But he was a Laker, okay? You're looking at Dirk, of course. He stayed with the Mavs. Tim Duncan, great situation, obviously, in San Antonio, but he stayed there as well. Mm-hmm. So guys like this, right, we don't see that often anymore. Guys like Steph Curry, Brad Beal, those are like the guys you could consider. And
Giannis.
Obviously Dame. Yeah, Giannis, mm-hmm. huge. Yeah, Giannis not going anywhere was massive. That was massive for the league, right? So I think Dame is cut from that same cloth. And actually, he's like the poster child for loyalty. I am somebody that likes loyalty in this NBA, right? I think we saw the super team era, right, play out. But I think it's good that he's committing to the city of Portland, the state of Oregon. He's done a lot for them, right? But of course, as a fan, I want to see him win, right? But at the end of the day, I think people are pressuring him a lot to win. So I want to ask you, Nor, does a ring, like if he won a ring, let's face it, it's not happening in Portland, okay? But let's say it's not happening in Portland. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Never know. Nobody thought the Raptors were ever going to win a title.
Back to the Raptors.
The Portland Trailblazers are not
nobody
winning.
Thought,
I'm
nobody
sorry.
Thought.
I used to think it's possible. I don't think it's possible anymore.
Anything's possible. As KG once said.
Shout out KG. But I want to ask you, if he did win a ring in Portland or somewhere else, do you think that helps his legacy like even more? Or do you think he's fine without a ring?
I think it's so tough talking about players and their legacies with rings because I truly think a player can be fine without that. Because you see guys like Charles Barkley. Absolutely, there's trolls out there that always say, well, where's your ring? Where's your ring?
Yeah.
But look at what he's amounted for himself even without a ring. You don't need to have a championship to be a guy that everyone looks up to even years after you've passed on from the NBA. Not passed on, actually, but passed on from the NBA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it boils down to what Dame considers important. Now, the discourse around it will be different. and the discourse will not favor a guy that does not have a ring. You put a conversation with Damian Lillard, give him a guy next to him who has a ring, people are going to go for the guy that has a ring because that's proven material. But the problem is we don't get the context behind that conversation because you have to realize where Dame comes from. He's leading a team by himself in the Western Conference that's been super stacked for years. So the odds have been against him. Could he have moved and gotten a ring somewhere else? Absolutely. Could he have as the other player done that? Probably. But it's just him being loyal is great for him, but also could be a problem for him, depending on how he wants the conversations to happen.
So, like, he's loyal to a fault. So, do you think it solidifies his legacy or no?
Again, this goes back to what Dame was talking about ring culture, right? It's like, look, Charles Barkley is a top 50 player of all time, one of the best of all time, but he was a bus driver of teams that went to the finals, right? Dame has said before, he's like, I'm not the type of guy to go crew up with somebody else because that's the easy one and you're expected to win, right? Dame's talked about how I want to bring players to Portland, in my city, my franchise, so then I can win, right? Mm-hmm. Look, of course, Dame said it before. He's like, I want to win a title, I want, but I want to do it on my terms. I want to do it in Portland. I want to win in Portland because it means more than anywhere else.
Right.
And I think seeing, you know, the Raptors win a title in Toronto, seeing Giannis win a title in Milwaukee, you see just how much more it means than the titles, like, for example, like KD won.
Yeah, so quickly, any team that you think should make a move?
Miami.
There's a team in the Eastern Conference that also resembles the Portland Trailblazers. So check out the Raptors, Damian Lillard. I'll send you a YouTube link afterwards. Let me know.
I would absolutely cry if he was a Raptor. But that is all for this topic. We'll see what happens with Dame moving forward. This was Hoop Talks.
Like father, like son. 20 years ago, LeBron James dominated the McDonald's All-American game, and last night, his son, LeBron James Jr., put on a show in Houston. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney here with Noor Zainab and Jelani Goodridge-Reed. Guys, last night in Houston, Texas, not North Texas, Houston, Texas, LeBron James Jr. at the 46th annual McDonald's All-American Game had 15 points, 5 three-pointers, put on a show in the dunk contest. Of course, Bronny, as they call him, is one of the most sought-after recruits in college basketball. ESPN has him ranked 28th in the country. He's a four-star recruit, not one of the biggest guys out there, but definitely has making a lot of headway. Currently, Ohio State, USC, and Oregon are the three preferred destinations. Ohio State is the place he should play. Oregon. But guys, I've always been hesitant to talk about kids and their game. But Bronny, now that he's about to enter college, has opened up now to, you know, warrant some talk on his game. So, Jelani, I'm going to start with you. What were your thoughts on Bronny's performance at the McDonald's All-American game and just his game in general going forward to college?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the performance. I think, you know, the whole James gang was out there. You know, we were vibing. We were feeling good about ourselves in Houston.
You were there?
Yeah. I'm the lost son. But, yeah, you know, I think he played really well. Obviously, we've been talking about Bronny, right, and how his game, you know, kind of matches his dad in terms of the athleticism, but I think he's a really good shooter. And I think when you're talking about the current NBA, what is it? Who are the, you know, archetypes, right? 3 and D. And we can see the activity there on the defensive side. We've seen it, you know, in his tape, his high school tape throughout these years, how he does commit on the defense and he can shoot. If you're a 3 and D type of guy in the NBA, that makes you last for a long time. So I'm not going to sit up here and say, yeah, he's going to play like his father, because his father's one of one. Okay, let's just be honest, right? But we see the athleticism, right? Look at that dunk. You see the way that he can shoot. We saw it in Houston. So I'm very impressed. I think he can be that first round pick. We'll see where he falls, right? There might be a team that might want LeBron services. So, and that brings in the dollars. So, you know, he might be an early first round pick. We'll see what happens moving forward.
3 and D also gets you paid. Look at guys around the league, right? So that's a really easy way to get yourself in the league. Make yourself someone that teams will be looking to add onto their roster, because that's a spot that, as we said before, it's part of a championship team almost. Now, how will he do in the NBA? I think even putting LeBron James' name in the same sentence as him is like, let's leave it alone. It's too much expectation for a guy like that. I mean, I think he's got the right tools to be something, to be a good NBA player. I wouldn't say best. I wouldn't say the only best, but I would say a good NBA player. And the reason for that is he has a lot of energy for his size, and he has a lot of aggression for his size too, based off of his dunks. A guy like that who's you know, height is that as well, but if he's able to go and show that much strength behind what he can do with the paint, that's going to be a good future.
And I think, look, he's not going to be his dad. There's never be another LeBron James.
We're all excited. Not going to be his dad, yeah. By the way, guys.
He's not going to be. Look, his dad is 6'8", Bronny's 6'3", right? Mm-hmm. Even if Bronny grows to 6'4", right? His dad's like 260 pounds, yeah. Run like the wind. Like, he's not physically built like his dad, right? But the fact that you've seen him, he's been under the spotlight now for the last couple of years. Ever since LeBron's been to LA, he's been playing at Sierra Canyon. He's gotten a lot more exposure, but you're seeing his game get better and better and better to the point now where, you know, he's in a hot commodity. And even a couple of weeks ago, they said, you know, he could be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft in 2024, where I said, you know, maybe the Raptors kind of wish they had kept that first round pick and not trade to San Antonio so they could have Bronny James.
It is,
but
what it is.
I'm just playing around with that. I do want to talk about this, though. NIL deals and college players making money now. Bronny, right, has not declared to a college yet. He has, again, Ohio State should be the place to go. But, you know, he's got 12.7 million followers on social media. Jeez. Guess how much?
That's
NIL,
your numbers
right
there.
His NIL value is $7.2 million of endorsement money. Mm. Some notable brands, of course, Beats, Nike, PSD Underwear, right? Guess who's second in that list amongst college athletes? Arch Manning.
Yes.
You know, of course, from the established Eli, Payton, Cooper, you know, the great Manning family. He's got 243,000 followers and $3.7 million in NIL money. Now, guys, yes, there comes perks with being LeBron James's son. Again, deals with Beats and Nike. But just speak to how he's put the work in and how he put himself in this position under that pressure that is, you know, being LeBron James's son.
Yeah, I cannot imagine what he's going through, right? Because the thing with LeBron was, yes, he was expected to be Jordan, or at least something like that, right?
He was the chosen one.
Yeah, the chosen one, right? But I think with him, at the time, early 2000s, there was no social media, right? LeBron James' son, he comes in this world where we know what you're doing. We see you. We have highlights all over the place. We know, you know, daily, 24/7, who you are, what you're doing, and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Bronny. And I do think, though, people, like we said previously, he's not going to be LeBron. He's not going to be his dad. But I do think, though, if he does manage to get in the league, the pressure is going to be there, right? Because they're going to expect something from him, right? So I do give him a lot of credit for trying to be, you know, trying to get through whatever he's going through, because I know a lot of naysayers, a lot of people come after him, you know, trolls and stuff like that. But he's still managing to make his own way, because LeBron and Savannah, the only thing they could do is put him in the right situation. He has to prove it, and he's been proving it so far.
Also, to his credit, for him to actually follow through with basketball, knowing that his dad is the best in the world, or could be one of the best, greatest that we've ever seen play basketball, right? So knowing that kind of pressure and knowing what conversations will be had, knowing the headlines that will be made, he's still like, I'm going to go in the league. I think he knows he won't be as great as his dad, but he's willing to still put in the work, still be that guy, cancel out the noise, and not really ride his dad's coattails. Like, I feel like he's doing everything in his power to still make himself be the player on his own. Nepo babies, it does help being a Nepo baby. Let's look at Eli Manning, as you said. Let's look at Bronny James. These are guys that, as great as they are athletics-wise, would they be getting deals like this had their dad not been that
That's
person?
True. But then I also think, look, people say, well, Bronny had to, you know, he's got all these privileges in his life being LeBron, but he also put the work in, right? Like, yeah. LeBron can't go out there and play in these games for Bronny. He's doing it, right? I do want to touch on this, though, quickly. The pressure. I like how he's, you know, he does his own thing. He plays his game differently. He wears number 0, doesn't wear number 6 or 23, right? He plays a different position, but his name is LeBron James Jr., right? So that pressure is going to come regardless. I want to ask you guys two separate questions quickly, 30 seconds. Which college does he go to? And Noor, is he a top 10 pick in the NBA draft?
He will go to Ohio State.
Thank you.
I think he should go to North Carolina because I'm a fan. But yeah, Ohio State it is.
Top 10 pick?
No.
No. Okay. Well, there you have it. That has been it for Hoop Talks for Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodrich. I've been Justin Pooney. Take care, everybody, and we will see you later.